of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Wasn't much of a ride, and Sheriff Schofield was sitting on Fred Wilmer's porch swing when I got there. He told me Doc was inside with Fred, so I squatted down on the stoop and waited. About half an hour later, Doc came out and told us we could go inside and see Fred. Fred was lying on a cot, breathing hard. The white cloth across his chest was stained pink, and his voice sounded like it was full of air.
We was just sitting talking, Sam and me. Didn't hear the back door open. Must have left it unlocked. Turned around, and there he was, holding his gun, huh?
Did you get a look at him, Fred?
Sure, but it didn't do much good. Handkerchief over his face. Couldn't see nothing, just the gun. Told Sam to open the safe. Wasn't nothing else Sam could do.
Sure.
Took the money, walked over to the door.
Yeah?
Looked at us for a minute and then fired. Didn't have no reason. Hit Sam in the face, hit me in the chest, and couldn't have no reason.
Now, take it easy, Fred.
It's just like he enjoyed shooting at us. That's how it was, like he enjoyed it.
Maybe he was scared.
He wasn't scared. He didn't have no reason. Thought he'd killed us both. Started down the steps. I got my hand on the shotgun and I let him have it.
You hit him?
I don't know, maybe. He gave a yell and rode off.
You go out back after him?
I couldn't go nowhere, Britt.
What kind of a fellow was he? Young? Old?
I couldn't see his face. He's a young fellow, I'd say, though.
How young?
Oh, 17, 18. He was full grown.
You sure?
He sounded young. He moved young.
Tall? Short?
Medium. What about the size of your kid, Ed? About that size.
That enough for you, Ed?
Yeah. Yeah, that's enough.
You think you get him, Britt?
Sure, Fred. Sure. Sure, we'll get him. Come on, Ed.
Didn't have no reason to shoot. No reason.
Let's go, Ed.
We're wasting our time, Brett. He's got a day's head start. He'd be 40 miles from here.
Not if he's shot up.
Well, you go on if you want to.
Well, you're the sheriff. You've got to make the arrest.
You ain't never been so particular before.
Maybe not. Maybe not. This time I am particular. You coming?
I don't even know where to start.
Well, I thought along the creek. As good a place as any other.
It's a waste of time, Brett.
We picked up the trail along the creek and headed west. Wasn't hard to follow. Every once in a while, we'd see a few drops of blood spattered against the bushes. About 10 minutes later, we came to the fork where Ed said the trail gave out. Scar stuck his nose down into the water, and I looked around. The trail didn't give out. It turned south. I nodded in that direction. Ed didn't say anything. He just followed. At about 5 o'clock, we stopped to eat. Ed built a fire, and I opened up a couple of cans of beans I had in my roll. Oh, you're not hungry, Ed?
It's early for supper. Too early.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed, I talked to Heavy before I went out to Fred's place. I asked him who had a horse that would leave a mark like the one we've been following.
So?
He said that Ben did. Your son, Ben. I thought you ought to know that.
A lot of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark.
Fred said it was a young fellow.
It wasn't Ben.
Where is he, Ed?
He's at Jefferson Ranch. He's working on a roundup. He left Clay City day before yesterday. He couldn't have... Ben. Ben, there's a lot of wild youngsters in these parts, but Ben's a good boy. If he couldn't be him.
You sure?
Now, that mark don't mean nothing. Plenty of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark. You know that, Britt.
You got enough to eat?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. The moon came out. Thin, yellow. Not real bright, but enough so we could follow the trail. For about 3 miles, there wasn't any blood sign. He must have wrapped something around the wound, wrapped it real tight, and then we found the bandage. A piece of shirt tail sopped through. For the next mile, he'd been bleeding a lot, much worse than before. He was hurt pretty bad, Ed.
Yeah, looks like it.
He couldn't have gone much further, could he? Hold up, Scar. Ed.
Yeah?
Pull up. Pull over here. Look. Over there in the gully, that cabin.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
I used to belong to Jake Levante. Died a couple of years ago. Ain't nobody living there now.
There's somebody living there.
What?
Out back. There's a pony. We'd better go on foot.
Britt?
Yeah?
We're gonna take him alive, ain't we?
If we can.
We gotta take him alive, Britt.
It's Ben, isn't it?
I don't know, not for sure.
It could be Ben?
Yeah, it could be.
Where's he been the last couple of days?
I don't know that either. I had an argument with him 2 nights ago. He needed some money. He'd been playing poker. He lost a lot.
Now, the $5,000 that was taken out of that safe is a loss.
I wouldn't give him none. He got mad. He said he'd get it. Said he'd get it himself. And I hit him. I hit him hard across the face. Hit him twice. He started to hit me back, and then he walked out of the house, and I ain't seen him since. I wish he had hit me back.
Now, we've got to get across this clearing, Ed. Over to that clump of trees.
They may see us.
We'll have to take that chance. You ready?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, sure.
We'll stay in these trees for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll rush him. It's not going to be easy to take him, Ed. Now that he spotted us.
Red, you ain't going to kill him.
I'm not going to let him kill me.
It ain't his fault, Britt. It's mine.
You know that's not so.
No, it's the truth. It's my fault. I broke him. I broke him like you break a wild horse. Tried to take all the fight out of him fast. You know what happens when you do that to a horse? He gets tame, but the fight's still there, and someday he turns wild again. He ain't really broke at all.
I'm going to rush him alone, Ed.
No, stay here.
Sam Norton's dead. Maybe Fred Wilmer, too, by now.
Killing Ben won't bring him back. He's my son, Britt.
I'm sorry, Ed.
No, we're going back to town.
Not without him.
We're going back. You can outdraw me, Britt, but I'll still have time to get a shot off.
I'll try to get him alive, Ed. I'll try.
No. Don't turn your back on me, Britt. Don't be a fool. Don't make me do it, Britt.
I knew he wouldn't shoot. I wasn't being brave, but I knew he wouldn't shoot. A man like Ed Schofield just don't change overnight. You can figure a man like Ed. But I hadn't figured on what happened next.
Me, Ben, you're dead. Can you hear me, Ben? Brett Ponce is coming after you. Throw out your gun, Ben. Brett Ponce is coming. No, listen to me, Ben.
I saw him go down real slow, like his legs had buckled under him. I pushed myself past a couple of rocks and edged over toward the back door. The kid was in the kitchen. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him moving around, going from window to window, looking out. Waiting for me. I slid past another rock. I could run for the door now or wait. The kid made up my mind for me. He knew right where I was. I took out my gun and waited. I knew he'd get nervous first. Young fellas always do. I wasn't so young. I could wait. It was more than 5 minutes before the door started to open. His pony knew he was coming, too. He started for his horse. I aimed at his leg. For a second, he just stopped moving. Just hung there in midair like a hawk. And then he sprawled forward out of sight behind a log. Everything was quiet now. Even his pony. And then the moon went behind a thick cloud. And I came around the corner of the cabin. And then suddenly the moon came out again, and just in time for me to see his .45 coming up over the top of the log. His revolver slipped out of his fingers, and I saw him try to reach for it. But he couldn't make it. I stood up and I walked over to the log. I turned him over with my foot and I looked at his face.
Ed? Ed?
Over here.
Where'd he get you?
The shoulder. But I'll be all right. Is he? Did you have to? Britt?
No, he's not dead.
Thanks. I guess he didn't hear me calling to him. Didn't know who I was.
It isn't Ben.
What?
It isn't Ben, Ed.
You sure, Britt?
Yeah, yeah. This kid's got red hair.
There ain't no reason to lie to me, Britt. I ain't shot up bad.
I'm not lying, Ed. I knew it wasn't Ben. While I was going up there after him, I knew it.
What are you talking about?
Well, it just came to me. I don't know. A man don't change overnight, and neither does a boy.
Well, if it ain't Ben, it...
Well, there's a lot of tough kids in these parts. You said so yourself.
Where do you suppose Ben is?
Where you said he is. Jefferson's Ranch, working on the roundup. The pay's good. Boy, don't change overnight, Ed.
Yeah.
You were able to ride back to town?
Yeah, sure. I may have to take it a little slow.
Sure, fine. We'll take it slow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get the kid.
Britt?
Yeah?
You know something, Britt? I couldn't believe it was Ben neither. Not when he shot me. I just couldn't believe it. You know that, Britt?
I know. Sure, I know, Ed.
Picture the most extravagant vacation imaginable. Then picture yourself going on that vacation. Sounds like a daydream? Well, it isn't. It's completely possible. But it does take a bit of planning, such as the regular purchase of United States savings bonds. Now, the best way to do that is through the payroll savings plan. That's the best way because it's the sure way to buy your savings bonds regularly. The payroll savings plan works like a charm because it's completely automatic. Your employer does everything for you. It's especially easy on you because money is saved from your paychecks before you have a chance to miss it. And when those bonds mature, you can pack your bags for that extravagant vacation. Because United States savings bonds pay back $4 for every $3 you put in. Join the payroll savings plan where you work. That's the way to save money regularly. Earn extra money regularly through United States savings bonds. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Parley Bear, Jimmy McCallion, Herb Bygren, and Bill Conrad. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Hear exciting Stroke of Fate tonight on the NBC Radio Network.